Hallelujah, Lord, we do thank you that you are the light of the world and that you've called us to live in the light. God, I do thank you for your light that's here. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you will light up our path, God, that you will give even direction. Lord, for those that need direction, I thank you that you are the way. Lord, for those who have been living in just even in a darkness and an oppression, and just like the dark clouds of trials and tribulations, Lord, you're going to be the light, and you're going to bring and make us even lighter as well. God, we thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So good to be with the people of God. Can we give him some praise? Now, we can do better than that. Can we give him some praise? Very good. My name is Philip Steele. I'm one of the pastors here, and we have a special month planned. We're going to be doing, you know, we talk about, if I could get a little bit of help with that pulpit there, I don't know, JT or somebody or Pastor Will, need a little bit of muscle there. It's coming, the muscle's coming. It just popped in that door. We got good muscle there. I've just got a lot of stuff in my hands. You got a cheerleader there in the back, too. That's your wife back there cheering you on. But we're going to be talking over these next few Wednesdays. You know, here at Bethel, we have a discipleship path, and we're going to be putting some stuff up on here. We have know, grow, and go. That's our discipleship path. How many of you have heard that before? You have to forgive me. I'm going to be looking back this way just a little bit because that's going to change right there. We have the know. We have worship service. We do have connect class. We do have a connect class intensive coming up on September 21st. So if you're not a member and you don't qualify yet for the Experiencing Spiritual Freedom, you could come to the Connect Class Intensive, which we also offer on Sundays. There's two parts. There's a 9 o'clock and also 11 o'clock out this way to the left. And so we would want you to grow, you know, and know God. And then our life groups, of course, we've had life group fair, growing, serving in different areas. And then that number two there, that B1 discipleship training. How many of you have taken that? Can I see your hand? Have you taken that? If you've taken it, raise your hand up real, real high. Okay, well, the rest of you, I want to welcome you to the B1 discipleship training because that's what we're going to be doing over the next. I'm so glad you came. We kind of pulled a fast one on you. No, but we do. What we do want to do is we want to train people. And so tonight I'm going to talk about win one, which that basically means winning a person to Jesus. By the end of tonight, I hope to inspire you and instruct you, equip you a little bit so that you'll be much more confident in sharing your faith, okay? And then the following week, a week from today, Pastor Carlos Antonio is going to be talking about make one. He's going to talk about making a disciple. So we want you all to be confident in making disciple. And then 2 weeks from now, Pastor Carol, give it up for Pastor Carol, is going to be teaching start one. And we do have some handouts here, okay? So we want to hand out the notes. I don't know if we have enough for everybody, but we should have enough for at least one per couple, I think, okay? So we want to have your notes. And then if we also do try to keep track of, you know, who has taken this. And I think that the best way that we can keep track and really give you credit, because if you take the B1 discipleship training, you do ESF, and even start a life group, you know, then you would qualify as a, you know, with a pastor's approval and everything, you would qualify to be a part of our ministry team. You know, so not just the equipping, but then some other open doors within this church. So if you want to, you know, in a sense, sign up for what you're already in and have credit for it, I will ask you to fill out a Connect card and just put your name on it. And then I guess today's date, I think that would be enough. And win one if you put that on there. Can you do that? Just take a minute and fill out this if you want to be like accredited for this, for taking this course. Otherwise, you'd have to do it like on a Saturday, right? An intensive or something like that. But we have wanted to do it here during the church service. Actually, we're going to be recording this for future use as well. So if you see me talking to the people, you know, behind the camera, then that would be, you know, why we're doing that. But if you do me that favor and fill out one of these cards and just hand it in as you leave tonight, that would be great. Okay, let me do this. Let me just pray for us as we get into this. Lord, I do thank you for each and every person. And Lord, I thank you for those that will be watching online right now, those who will be watching this at a later time as part of their discipleship training. God, I thank you for the opportunity to do that. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be with us in a great way, that you would inspire us, equip us, and so that we could go forth and make disciples, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you have heard different portions of my story, and I'll share a little bit towards the end, my salvation testimony. But I grew up in Minnesota, came to the Lord my freshman year. And then after coming to the Lord, I studied agricultural engineering. So engineering was in the Minneapolis campus, and the agriculture portion was in St. Paul's. We'd have about a 20-minute campus bus ride between. And I just got saved like my first month of school. And I started reading my Bible at 20 minutes. I had a RSV Bible that was given to me from my Lutheran confirmation class. And I would spend those 20 minutes and read the Bible. And then I started taking some Spanish classes, and I would listen to cassette tapes of Spanish, you know, to practice my Spanish. And then by about my third year, I got this just fantastic revelation that there was actually people on the bus that didn't know Jesus. And so I would try to start open up a conversation with them, you know, and just, hey, what do you study? Just ask some questions, you know, are you involved in any other, you know, group on campus, any kind of activity? And I can't say that I, you know, quote unquote, led somebody to Christ during those 20-minute bus rides, but I shared my testimony numerous times and talked with people about Christ, you know, just taking advantage of that time. That was kind of where I kind of cut my teeth on just evangelism and trying to at least sowing a seed, at least trying to win somebody to Christ. Holy Spirit bears witness with my spirit now, years, decades later, that some of those seeds that I planted, now some of those people are serving the Lord. I'll know in eternity who those are, but as we sow the seed, you know, and as we take the Great Commission, we take it, you know, seriously for us. Like Pastor Corey Bendix, he said one time, evangelism is sharing, it's enjoying Jesus in the presence of those who don't know him. And I would hope that we could enjoy Jesus in such a way in front of other people that we could even take the heart, the Great Commission, which is repeated in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and we have it in John. And Jesus said to them in John 20, 21, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And then with this, he breathed on them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. You know, and I think that even as the Father has sent Jesus, he's sending us. And hopefully tonight will be a time of equipping, of training, and then next week as well. And even those that are watching these videos, whenever you watch them in the morning, the afternoon, whenever it might be, that this would be a time of inspiring and equipping, and that you could see something that I saw too at the University of Minnesota. We took some different evangelism classes. One of them was, this is years, decades ago, Evangelism Explosion. And I could see that this other, he was my roommate, and I could see, man, he can share the gospel. You know, they showed us a presentation. We'll be showing you a presentation. I watched him, and if he can share the gospel, I can do it too. He ties his shoes just like I have to tie my shoes. And hopefully we'll make it easy that you can do it, and you'll see, wow, man, I can do that. I can share the gospel. I can share my faith. I can share my testimony. And as the Father sent Jesus, I'm trusting that he's going to send you. He's going to send you to your family members, to your workmates, to your neighbors, even to those people that, you know, the Uber driver, or if you are an Uber driver, I hope that you would be super activated to share the faith, that we would all be activated. So first of all, what we need to do is we need to know the gospel. We do have a message that we want to share with you. And we have some other cards. I don't know, did these get handed out? We want to hand out these. This is the gospel. And we're going to go through this line by line. We could actually take like one sermon on each one of these little phrases. But if you've got this and you can have it with you or even take a picture of it, this is something that you should have with you at all times if it's not in your heart already. And as you share more and more, you'll get this even in your heart. This is from our pastor, Rice Brooks, even part of, I think it's part of his kind of doctoral dissertation of evangelism and the ministry of the evangelist and just almost a creed that we would be able to say, the gospel is the good news. That's important to know, is the gospel is good news. It's not sad news. It's good news. And it's good news about a past event, that Jesus died on the cross for us and he rose again. There's a story about some, during World War II, in the German prisoner of war camps, there were some Americans. This is towards the end of the war. So we're talking like 1945. The war is just about to end. And some of these American soldiers who were taken captive and they were in these German prisoner of war camps, somehow they got a little shortwave radio. And they could start to listen to the shortwave radio broadcast, like from England and stuff like that. And they started to hear, you know, about the bombings in Japan. They started to hear that even that the Germans had basically given up, but their camp hadn't been set free yet. But that good news that the war was over and that our side won, don't you know that even although you might be in a perilous situation, immediate situation, just knowing that this is over, it just brought a new jump in their step as they heard, and just a smile on their face, we're getting out of here real soon. And I think it was just a few days later where they woke up one day and all the guards had left and the prison doors and all that prisoner of war camp was just completely open and they were just free to go home and just walk home. Let me tell you that the gospel is good news. Everybody say good news. If you're watching, say good news. It's good news of a past event, and it's also good news of a current state, that we are in Christ Jesus, that we are forgiven, that we are new creatures. We just had a time of praise and worship before I got up on stage, and Robert was talking about that we're in Christ. All things are new. And so the gospel is good news that give us, it's not like some kind of a counseling, like if you do this, God will accept you. Many of the other world religions, they're not good news of a past event or a current state. They're like counsel that if you do this, if you fulfill these certain religious requirements, then God will accept you. If you do the journey to the religious city, if you do these good works, and it ends up being just a moralism that evil either leaves us proud because we did it and we fulfilled, or it leaves us discouraged because we didn't. Discouraged and condemned. And sometimes we just go in that circle. It's that other world religions, even Christian moralism. You take a little bit of the Bible and you add a bunch of morality, moralism, that if you do this, you don't do the other things, then God will accept you. That's man's efforts to try to get to God, whereas real Christianity is the good news, we'll get into it in a second, that God did something for us. It's good news. And it also gives us a future hope that when we see him, we'll be like him. So there's a past event that already occurred. Jesus died on the cross. The Messiah rose again. That's good news. It's a current state that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, that we are forgiven, not based on what we do, but what he does, what he already did. And it gives us a future hope. Let's look at this. This is one of the Christmas verses. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people everywhere. The good news is that God became a man in Christ Jesus. I'm probably going to have to go a little bit fast here, but this is the incarnation. Again, it's a Christmas doctrine that God became a man, that God put on human flesh. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, John 1:1, and then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the good news, that God up here would come down, not our efforts to try to get to God. But so this is just the message that we're going through, just real quick. And then he lived the life we should have lived. You can see some of these notes. These are in your notes as well. For those of you who have notes, hopefully those of you who are watching that you can get a copy of these notes, a PDF or something like that. He lived that perfect, that righteous life. Some of the other verses that are not in your notes, but I've added them in just to give a biblical base for the sinlessness of Jesus, that he did fulfill the law. Hebrews 4:15, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And again, 1 Peter 2, it just says, he committed no sin. 1 John 3:5, you know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. And so that message of of the good news. The gospel is the good news that God became a man in Christ Jesus. And you'll hear me repeat it several times because I've learned this kind of creed almost to memorize it. And that he lived the life we should have lived, and that he died the death we should have died. There is a payment for sin. There is a reality of sin. First of all, Romans 3:23. Again, this is not in your notes, but if you want to write this down, this is a basic scripture. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's not one that is righteous. There's not one that has never made a mistake except for Jesus. And so even as you're sharing the gospel, you should know that Jesus lived that perfect righteous life that we should have lived. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And some of these scriptures, these are like basic scriptures that I use over and over and over again as I share the gospel with others. And it's the power of God in the scriptures. As you share the scripture, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. As you share that scripture, those people with whom you are sharing, they will remember you. They will remember those scriptures for all of eternity. I just hope it's on this side. But as you share the scripture, it's not in your power, it's in the power of the scripture. It's in the power of the Holy Spirit. I really like the next one, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, he made him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin. He was perfect. That's, again, the sinlessness of Jesus. So that in him, we might become the righteousness of God. In him, in Christ Jesus. That's the great exchange. He lived that life that we should have lived. And then if we continue on it, you know, he died in our place. The gospel is that good news. He lived that life. He died the death we should have died. Even as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then he rose again from the dead. This is one of the great, even the doctrine of the resurrection, which we celebrate at Easter. And all the different scriptures, the Apostle Paul said in a summary of the gospel, Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scripture. He was buried. He was raised again on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And so if nothing else, if you just remember some of the main Christian holidays, you remember Christmas, that's the incarnation. God became a man in Christ Jesus. He lived the life he died the death we should have died, that he suffered in our place. That's Good Friday. And just remember kind of the main Christian holidays. Easter, he rose again. And then after that, number six, he offers salvation to all those who repent and believe the gospel. This part of the gospel presentation is our response to what God did. Is repent, which means to turn away, and then believe, put our trust in Jesus. And even Jesus went about after John was arrested. Jesus came into Galilee, Mark 1, proclaiming the gospel of God, saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So those two words of repent and believe, they're like the two sides of the same coin. We repent from sin and we turn towards God. Those things that I used to do that I know that weren't pleasing God, and I knew that I couldn't have one foot in the kingdom of God and one foot in the world enjoying sin, I knew I had to turn away. And each one of us, there's things in our life that the Holy Spirit would speak to us that we need to turn away from, but not just turn away on our own power. It's turning away and believing in Jesus Christ. And again, we could go so much into all of these, so deep in each one of these, and almost do a whole session on each one and Bible verses and all the repent and the believe. Lord, help us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How many of you have heard John 3:16 before? See, even those Bible verses that you've heard, that you've memorized, if you're just ready with those to speak. And so the first thing we need to do is we need to know the gospel. Can we say that all together, this whole gospel presentation? If you've got your card, You know, I'm going to count to three, and I want us all to say it, okay? One, two, three. The gospel is the good news that God became man in Jesus Christ. He lived the life we should have lived and died the death we should have died in our place. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving he is the Son of God and offering the gift of salvation and forgiveness of sins to anyone who repents and believes the gospel. Now you can take this card and you can put it up on your mirror, you can put it in your car, you can just every day just repeat that until it almost becomes, this is a summary of the gospel. And so as you're sharing the gospel with somebody, the message, this is a message that you wanna have and you wanna use and even to memorize. Okay, are you with me so far? Okay, so then from there we wanna grow in the gospel. And so we want to cultivate God's heart for the lost. Even that what breaks his heart would break our heart, that we would be able to see as he sees. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance. I would just hope and pray just for all of us that are here present in this teaching, for those that are watching, whether you're watching right now or watching at a later time, my prayer is that our hearts would be open to God himself and to be able to see the lost condition of men and women as they're running to and fro and so distracted and so worried about so many things. I would just hope that even as Jesus had compassion on the multitudes, he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. Lord, help us to see. Forgive us for being so worried and so hurried in our daily life, Lord God. Help us to even slow down and help us to take a moment and see that every soul is important to you. God, help us as we grow in our heart for the gospel, for the lost as well. Lord, help us. And we should demonstrate the gospel through our life. 1 Peter 3:15, real good scripture as well. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. And I really hope that these times, today and the next week and then the following week, those that are going to be watching, that you could do all three of the trainings. And that we would always be prepared to make a defense for anyone who asks us, why is it? I remember working at a woodworking factory during my get me through college job. It was just kind of assembly line stuff. And some of these other guys, they looked at me and said, well, what is it that you have? And I was able to give a defense for the hope. I remember a gal in Costa Rica, we lived there for 12 years, and this one gal asked me, she says, where are you from? And she knew I was from the States, my wife from Honduras, and she knew, and she'd seen our lives a little bit. And it's like, where are you from? You guys are like aliens from another planet. I guess we're from the kingdom of God. You know, but that's what we should have, that hope that people should see in us, the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, that what troubles everybody else, I would pray that the fruit of the Spirit would be so evident that the fruit around the seed would cause that seed to grow. Just as fruit becomes a natural fertilizer for the seed, I would hope that the fruit of the Spirit, the joy, that hope that we have, and that we would be able to, as it says here in this verse in 1 Peter, having a, yet do it, it says, do it with gentleness and respect. It doesn't say do it with all kinds of contention and arguing and I'm going to tell you how you're wrong and you're going to, you know, and all. They just do it with gentleness and respect and keeping a clean conscience so that when you're slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. So we need to know the gospel, that message that we have on this little card. Also grow in our hearts with compassion, grow in our hearts with an eye on eternity. And then also go with the gospel. And this is where we want to get into some practical things here. Go with the gospel. You can pray and ask ask God for opportunities, for open doors to share the gospel. Even I've been putting my alarm at 9:38. You can do it a.m. or p.m., just in remembrance of Matthew 9:38. The harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Lord, send laborers. And many times that converts into send me. And even Matthew 9:38 is followed by Matthew 9:39 and then 10:1, where Jesus says, go. And I think as we pray and we ask, God, use me, show me those people. You know, and then we can go and look for opportunities in your everyday life, even for giving testimony in the gospel. I'm praying, and I'm not, you know, the evangelist like Pastor Rice, or we've had other people, Pastor Corey, or Pastor Ernie Kruger, Shino Prater was here about a month ago, you know, evangelists that they're always winning people to the Lord. But I'm praying and I'm trying to just not be in such a hurry, going to Lowe's, going to Kroger, and, you know, not, you know, when I go shopping, I do man shopping. I know what I need. I know which aisle it is in. Sometimes I look on the app and it's on aisle 4 and halfway down, and you go in and you're not shopping. You're buying. You're going in and you're in and out. I got a job to do. I'm in a hurry. I'm going to get it done. And now I'm praying and I'm, you know, yeah, we got to get things done and go, go, go. And so much, you know, but I'm trying to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And if there would be somebody that would interrupt, could that interruption be a God moment? Just even looking in the book of Acts, how many times God interrupted Peter, interrupted Philip, interrupted Paul. And they were men that had plans and even God's plan. But can we allow God, the Holy Spirit, to interrupt us? And there's a person there that's needy, the woman at the well, that we would look for opportunities. We wouldn't be in such a big hurry all the time. Are you following with me? I'm just sharing my heart. And then also show and tell. Share the good news through your conduct and with your words. Not just your conduct. We also need to speak it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So even faith in other people, we have to share the gospel. Their faith level in Jesus has to rise to that point where they can reach out and grab the salvation that's available in Jesus. Okay, amen. Some of the ways to get involved, we do have some ways you can intentionally share your faith with your neighbors, your coworkers. I'll get into the God test in a minute, but we also have house-to-house ministry. People fill out this Connect card on Sunday mornings, especially if they say that they're first-time guests, new to Bethel. Our goal is to visit them the following Saturday. So we have a house-to-house ministry. It's called Engage. We give them a little packet. You know, we ring the doorbell. If somebody's there, if they're there that Saturday morning, hopefully it's not at 6 o'clock on Saturday morning. It never is. But we try to, you know, talk with them and engage them in the gospel if they're there. So if you want to be involved in that, you can talk to me, talk to JT, Pastor Carol, afterwards as well. Other are Every Nation Campus. They're out on campuses, Fisk and TSU and Lipscomb, some of the other campuses. And as well, just by going through this, and again, fill out this Connect card if you're here on site during this recording, we can get a record of your, and we can get you involved in the ministry team. You can be in that process of becoming a ministry team member, okay? And we have other opportunities as well, even short-term mission trips. Some of the tools, some of the other thoughts that we do have Pastor Rice has come up with the SALT method, S-A-L-T. What that is basically is start a conversation. So just, you know, start at the weather. Even the most super, you know, just, hey, it's, you know, it's so hot still. When is this, you know, and just open up your mouth. When I was on the campus and the buses at the University of Minnesota, just open up your mouth. Just start the conversation. Break the ice. Just a question. And then ask questions. And Pastor Rice with the God test, I've got a paper copy here. I've got a few of them, but it's also an app that we have. And this gives you the questions, almost like the cheat sheet. How many of you have seen this before, the God test? Can you raise your hand real big? Okay, it is an app, and Google, you know, Apple, wherever, you can get the God test and download it. It's in several different languages as well. And so it gives you the question. The questions are brilliant. The first question is, do you believe in God? And based on that answer, however that person answers you, if they say yes, then there are other questions. How would you describe God? What does God expect of us? How are you fulfilling those expectations? Do you believe in heaven? Do you think everyone goes? Do you think that you'll go? Would you like to hear what the Bible says about this? That's if they say yes, if they believe in the existence of God. Now, if they say no, we've done it sometimes where they say no and they think that they are off the hook. But we have questions for you as well. What are the main reasons you don't believe in God? And so we can ask them. And see, the S is start the conversation. The A in salt is ask questions. The L is very important. Listen. Don't argue. Don't be contentious. Just listen. Like Pastor Rice says, if they think God is a green Martian, oh, that's interesting. I just listen. Because as you ask the questions and you're respectful and you listen, the other questions, do you find any ultimate purpose or meaning in the universe? The questions for the atheist side are brilliant because they force the atheist to really think and question his atheism. How do you account for the laws of nature, gravity and electromagnetic forces and some of these other laws? How do you account for those? Does evil exist? And then just listen. See what they say. Because if there's no evil, how do you know that there's, if there's no God, there's no evil, how do you, and nobody's going to say there's no evil. But then what is the basis of your morality? How do you decide what's evil, what's good? Do you think that human life is special compared to plant or animal life? And so you just, and even in the app, there's a whole training. Pastor Rice has some little 5-6 minute videos that you can watch from the convenience of your cell phone. We'll try to make it real easy. You know, with this God test. We've used this God test, you know, here on the campuses. Personally, we've done it. We've used it a lot in Latin America. I don't know, do we have yeah, there it is right there. And so we set up a big banner with, you know, it's about that size, you know, down on the floor. And if somebody looks twice, all those religious symbols, they look twice. Hey, do you like that? Do you identify with one of those religious symbols? If they look twice, just out of curiosity, I gotcha. Do you like that? Which one do you identify? Do you know it comes with a little questionnaire? It's a global survey. Would you like to take it? And then I just start the conversation. I ask questions and I listen. That's very important because people are looking for someone just to listen to them. And so as I listen, and common courtesy, as I'm listening to you, then I'm kind of earning the right to be listened to. And so the T is tell the story. Tell your story and tell Jesus' story, the story of God, that God became a man in Christ Jesus. He lived the life we should have lived. He died, suffered the death that we should have died in our place. On the third day, he rose again from the dead, proving that he is the Son of God. And now he offers the gift of salvation to all those who repent and believe in the gospel. You see how I just said it again? Just that little, you know, I've just said it. You know, and so the God test, this is a great little tool here. But you do have to know the S-A-L-T that you start. Just open up your mouth, just ask. You can start with the way that you start anywhere. You can even just say, hey, we just went through some training at church and they told us about, can I practice with you? And they'll probably let you. I just had some people on Saturday. I was rejoicing so much. I was in my garage on Saturday, and there's three guys that came on and walked up the street there, and they said, hey, do you have any prayer requests? First of all, I was kind of wondering, what are they trying to sell, you know? Hey, do you have any prayer requests? And then they explained that they were out sharing the gospel. I was just rejoicing, you know. I let them know, and then they said, hey, can we just practice with you? I said, absolutely. And so it was just a fun moment. I just make it fun, amen? Now, the last one, we're going to try to do this last little tool. This is a tool that if you have come to Christ, if you have passed over from death into life, you have this tool, just like Pastor JT in the front row. He's a constructor, builder. And so the builders, they'll have these tool belts. They'll have a hammer and a drill and, you know, all these little things, all that kind of stuff. or like maybe the women, they don't have the builders, but in your kitchen, you've got the blender and the, you know, all the knife and the fork and the spatula and all, you've got all these little things that you can use. In the same way, as ministers of the gospel, which we all are, with our sphere of influence, you can have a tool belt, you can have different things that you can pull out at different times. You know, the God test, just to open up the conversation. The message, the gospel is the good news that God became a man in Christ Jesus. He lived the life we should have lived. He died the death we should have died in our place. On the third day, he rose again, proving that he is the Son of God. And now he offers the gift of salvation to all those who repent and believe. And you can just go down through and explain different points, explain the holidays, Christmas, whatever. And then the last tool is what we call the two-minute miracle. And if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have some kind of a testimony. It's a miracle when somebody comes to Christ. It's a miracle that we would pass from death into life. It's a miracle. And so if we can learn how to share our testimony in 2 minutes, 120 seconds. Now, some people say, I need 3 hours to tell all the glory of things that God has done in my life. I'm sure he's done a lot of things, but in the world we live in, nobody's going to give you 3 hours. They will give you 2 minutes. And so what we've trained people really all over the world, I've done this training for years, this two-minute miracle. And when you have confidence sharing your salvation, your testimony of salvation, it becomes like an archer that you have your quiver and you have your arrows. And if you've practiced, then you can shoot those arrows frequently and accurately. I use my two-minute miracle almost every time I share the gospel. And so what we want to do is we want to divide it into three parts. The first is before knowing Christ. And on your notes there, there's some questions. There's some helps there as well. That, let me see if I can find it. Which false beliefs or sinful actions characterized your life before you surrendered to Jesus? What were their consequences? Just think about your own life a little bit. And you want to be discreet in your description of sin. Don't glorify your former sinful life, but use it as a bridge to your need for God. This part should be no more than 30 seconds. You have to be disciplined with this. This is where we're going to practice. I'm going to ask us to get in groups of two. We're going to put up a timer on the, and we're going to put 2 minutes on there. And so we want to do about 30 seconds before knowing Christ. And then the second part is when you surrendered to Jesus. And some of the questions, they should be in your notes there. What truths and circumstances brought you to the point of surrendering and trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior? How did you respond? And this is where each one has a unique testimony. You might not know all the answers to all the theological questions, and young earth, old earth, and you know, what about all the hypocrites? You might not know all the answers. But if you have come to Christ, you have a testimony. And even Jesus said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses. We might not be expert witnesses, but we're witnesses and we can testify about what he has done in our lives and through our lives. Even we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, Revelation talks about. So you talk about the second part is when you surrendered to Jesus. Here you want to be specific. Describe the truth that impacted you, what repentance looked like for you, how you put your faith and trust in Jesus. Be real and transparent as you share this. This should be about a minute, about 60 seconds, okay? And then since following Jesus, this is the, you know, after. I listen for testimonies and we practice. And I listen, you know, I grew up, people will say, and, you know, I used to go to church and whatever. And then one day, there should be a, and one day. It might not be one specific day for you. Like my mother, she doesn't remember one specific day, but there was a period about a year, you know, where she kind of passed over from death to life. And maybe you have a testimony where you got saved when you were 5. Praise him. You got saved from all the garbage that a lot of us had to go through before coming to Christ. And so you can share what Jesus has done. And then this last part, since. And so I listen for those words. And since then, And then after that, you know, some of those key words that mark the testimony. And so you want to practice those things, okay? And so, you know, we always, just a few just quick tips, and then I'll share mine, and then we'll get into some practice. We will divide into small groups. If you're watching, we want you to practice as well. Put your clock on. Try to get it down to 2 minutes. If we can practice in this kind of a loving atmosphere, and you can practice with a group of two or three, then when you get out into the real world, it's just like football, whatever sport it might be, they'll practice all week, and then the weekend comes, they'll have the game. Or this music group, when they got up, and that wasn't the first time they'd played it. They practiced before the service. And so if we can practice this, that's why I'm saying you will be like an archer taking an arrow out, and you'll have that confidence. You'll be able to shoot frequently and accurately. You'll be able to do your testimony all the time. Try to avoid religious words without defining them. You can get into a Christianese with all these different words. Don't glorify sin and how bad you were before receiving Christ. Don't be saying, my life was great. I was going to parties all the time and it was just a fantastic, and now I became a Christian and it's just terrible. Okay, don't criticize other religions, other churches. Don't get sidetracked with talking about irrelevant details. And one thing I listen for and I encourage people, make Jesus the hero. Let Jesus be the hero. You know, don't be saying, well, you know, I used to be a party and a drunkard and, you know, did all these things. And now I go to church and I read my Bible and I'm a good person. No, wait a minute. Who's the Savior here? You know, so listen to yourself, listen to the other person. Let's try to make Jesus. And sometimes we have to make a concentrated effort to do that as well. Okay? Amen. Now think about your own testimony. Think about your life when you came to Christ. You know, what were the circumstances? How long ago was it? You know, where were you? Just think, you know, I'm gonna do mine. And so, I grew up, I put my timer on already, okay? I'm going to start it again. You didn't believe me when I did that. And I'm going to get a timer up here, too. I'm doing my own right now, but once we're going to get into groups of two. I'm warning you. I've warned you about 5 times. You watching this, you need to practice as well. If you practice it, you'll get good at it. You'll get confident. And we're all supposed to be ministers of the gospel, amen? So growing up in a farm in southern Minnesota, I would go to church pretty much every week. Kind of the deal that I cut with my parents is in order for me to use their car on Saturday nights, I had to go to church on Sunday mornings. So I was pretty much in church every week buying the right to use their car. But really, I was more interested in sports and girls and, you know, just doing my religious duty. But then when I went up to the University of Minnesota to study my freshman year, part of me said, I'm not going back to church. That's just for the old ladies. But then there was part of me that said, well, what about God? What about life after death? What about, you know, purpose, destiny? I started going to a small group Bible study. There were probably 6 or 8 guys, and I would go, and I had a little Gideon New Testament Bible that was given to me. And I can remember going to those studies and, you know, sneaking back into my room. I didn't want anybody else to know. One Tuesday, I couldn't get into the study because the dorm rooms were locked. All my friends, they said, let's go out to the bar. We have to celebrate. Today's Tuesday. We got to celebrate Tuesday. So we got a little bit drunk. Walking back, I prayed as I crossed a busy street, Lord, don't let a car kill me. Because I knew that if I would have died in that spiritual condition, I was lost. But then a week later, I went to the study, and after the study, I gave my life to Jesus, just all alone prayed. I said, Jesus, yes. That yes was, yes, I receive you, forgive me, transform me. And then since then, the Lord has sustained me and kept me, allowed me to know him in a greater way, filled me with joy, given me a fantastic family, and really caused me to know all kinds of great people and have a confidence that if I were to die, I know that I would go to heaven, that I have a place with him. So that's my 2 minute miracle. Took me 1 minute. I had my timer right here. I cheated. I had my timer here. I did go a little bit over. I'll criticize myself. I did go a little bit over. You know, and not that 2 minutes, you know, is the exact, if you go 2 minutes and 5 seconds, that there's no more anointing. We're not saying that. But you want to get it down where you can share it in about 2 minutes. If you find that you're finishing in a minute and a half, you can add in. If you find that after 2 minutes that you've not gotten to the "and one day," then you want to watch your details and economy of words. Like I say, the world in which we live, they're not going to give you 3 hours. They will give you 2 minutes, okay? Can we do this? Can we divide into groups of two? I want us to practice. We've done this all over the world. I want us to practice, okay? You might have to get out of your seat, think of it. So the first time I want one person to share, you'll have to decide who's going to share, and then we're going to switch, okay? Get in groups of two. I'm just going to wait here until you're going to have to move. You're going to have to get into your seat. I'm not going to stop. This is not just watch the preacher. This is, okay? And if you're watching this training as well. We want you to practice. Put your clock out there and practice. You might even record it, and then you can listen to yourself again if you're watching. So I'm just talking to the people that are watching me while the people here on site are getting into their groups, okay? Do we have a clock there? And whenever that clock goes, we're going to just stop you. Part of it is we have to stop the service, but we're going to switch, okay? So you'll each get an opportunity, okay? So remember the three parts: your life before knowing Christ, what were the lies, what were the, you know, the sins, the action, and then your encounter with Jesus. That center part should be about 60 seconds, how you came to Christ, how you passed from death to life, what repentance looked like to you, and then the after, the since then. Okay, is everybody ready? Everybody's got a group? Okay, you're watching at home, watching wherever. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. Forty more seconds. Okay, stop. Stop. How did you do? How many of you did like more or less like 2 minutes? You're right in the range there. How many of you finished real early? You finished early? Raise your hand. Finished early? Okay, if you finished early, you could add in some. Okay? Somebody said right on time. If you didn't finish, and you're still talking about your life before coming to Christ, you want to shore that up. You want to practice that, okay? Because one thing, it seems like it's real easy to talk like for a minute and a half about how I was before knowing Jesus, and then about 25 seconds of my conversion, and then everything has changed. You know, so just kind of, you know, feel it out. This is just like I say, just like we're practicing now. It's just like, you know, any sport, any music, learning another language, you practice in these kind of moments. Okay, we're going to put up 2 minutes again. Now you're going to switch. Okay, now the other person. Let me ask you this before we start. Who was the hero? Was it Jesus? Was it Jesus or was it, and I started going to church and I read my Bible and I don't sin anymore. Listen for those kind of cues. Did you use, if just pretend we're in a situation where the other person isn't a Christian. They don't know about the blood of the Lamb. They don't know about being committed to the body. You know, they don't know all those religious terms. So we'll try to, you know, speak in a way that people can understand, you know, non-Christians can understand you, okay? Okay, so switch it up. Put 2 minutes on. We've got 2 minutes. Okay, ready, go. Okay, stop. How'd you do? How many of you had a lot of time left over? You finished real early. You could add in a little bit. If you were, you know, about, you would have finished in about 10, you know, you're in the range. How many of you, like, needed about 5 more minutes? Yeah? Okay, you want to kind of be more disciplined. Now, I know that there will be moments where you might have 5 minutes, but if we can get it down to 2, it seems like it's always easier to add in a whole lot more. But I would encourage you, those of us that are here, if you're watching as well, just go ahead and practice it. Even write down those 3 points: my life before, my encounter with Christ, my salvation. And then that third part of the outline is since then. And put in some key words. If you write it out, then you'll remember it a lot more. Just practice these things. Amen? So our goal, I'm hoping, I'm believing, I'm praying that you will feel more confident in sharing your faith. That you'll be able to go out here. Even some of you will have, I'm telling you, some of you will have opportunities even tonight to share the gospel. Some of you will have opportunities tomorrow to share your testimony. And we'll continue. And, you know, next week we'll talk about making a disciple. And then the following week, how to start a life group. And really what we want to do, we want to make it easy. So really, it should be easy. Jesus breathed on the disciples, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. How about if we just stand up for a moment? Let's just pray. And let's ask the Lord just to blow upon us. Just all those lies of the enemy that you can't. That you won't be able to answer all the questions. You can just say, I don't know how to answer that question, but let me tell you what happened to me. Nobody can argue with you about your own testimony. Father, I pray for each and every one of us, God, that you would give us opportunities to share your word, to share your story, to share the story of what you've done in our lives. Give us wisdom, Lord, as we would start a conversation, as we would ask questions, that we would listen carefully, and then we would tell the story. God, help us to know the story that you did become a man in Christ Jesus, that you lived that perfect life, righteous life, and that you died on the cross in our place. On the third day, you rose again, and now you offer salvation. Lord, help us to speak clearly that message. God, I pray that you would send each and every one of us, send me out to share your word, I pray. God, give us open doors in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. God bless you. If you would fill this out just to, so we would have a record of your attendance, we would greatly appreciate it. Okay, because we do try to keep track of all this and then just hand it, I guess, at the Connect Central, at the main lobby, the desk there as well. Okay, God bless you. Thank you for coming. Hope to see you again next week as we continue this training, this equipping.